This morning, I'm going to be reading out of the New King James Version of the Bible in the Gospel of Mark with a message entitled, The Man Who Almost Had It All. There are multitudes of people that are simply existing. They have a life that is filled with some wonderful things. From the outside looking in, it would seem that their lives are thriving. Their family is doing well. They're secure in their job. They're doing well in their personal life. But when you talk to them, they tell you of the good things that are taking place. But the longer that you speak with them, the more you get to know them and you begin to hear what they have to say. And out of the abundance of their mouth, their heart is speaking. And you begin to sense that something is missing. And in so many cases, you find that they're actually empty. Perhaps you read this week of the popular Instagram model from Australia, a beautiful young woman. The young age of 20 years old, had thousands of followers on her Instagram account that would see the post from all different exotic locations, traveling around the world. But she died, being found unconscious, having taken her own life aboard a billionaire's yacht in the area of Greece. Or perhaps you read about the rapper Mac Miller, who's about to go on a brand new tour. He was found dead on Friday from an apparent overdose. He was 26. He died in Studio City. Something was missing in his life. Money wasn't enough. Fame wasn't enough. Relationship wasn't enough. Beauty wasn't enough. And listen, there are many people today that appear to be living a happy life, and you would classify them as good people, but really they're empty. There's a void in their life, and you could say they almost have it all. And here in Mark chapter 10, we read that Jesus had an encounter with a powerful, wealthy young man. The rich young ruler, as he has been called, came to Jesus with the most important question that anyone could ever ask. And it was this question: what must I do to have eternal life? Another way to say it, how can I get to heaven? And that question may be on your heart today. You know that there's more to life than this temporary existence. You even believe and would confess that you believe in the afterlife, life beyond the grave. But you're not sure where you would go if today were your last day. Before this service comes to a close, you can have that question answered. You can know that you're on your way to heaven. And I'm going to give you that opportunity to respond to the love of God, to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, and come and stand below this platform and pray to receive Christ and have your sins forgiven. Have the hope of eternal life. Now, right before Jesus met this young man, he'd been preaching about a kingdom that was coming. It was the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God in which Jesus is the king. It's not an earthly, temporal kingdom governed by man, but an eternal heavenly kingdom ruled by God. And as Jesus spoke about this kingdom, he revealed how it was a person could become a part of this kingdom. He talked about those who would have entrance granted to them and those who would have access denied. And the only way to enter into the kingdom of God, Jesus said, is you must become like a little child. It's an interesting phrase. Jesus said, unless you become like a little child, you will by no means enter the kingdom of God. What did Jesus mean when he said you must become like a child? He meant in one sense that unless you come with the childlike qualities of humility, with childlike faith, with a helpless dependence upon God alone for your salvation that's provided through Jesus alone, that you'd never enter into the kingdom of God. The characteristic of humility, this awareness that life just isn't about you, that there's more to life. There's this understanding that your own righteousness or your own morality can't save you. It's coming to the humble awareness that you can't save yourself. And for some people, that takes a long time for them to come to that place where they recognize their need for God. They compare themselves to other people and they feel good about themselves in the sense that they're more righteous than someone else. It's recognizing in humility that I'm a sinner and that I need salvation. The person who is proud sees no need for God, sees no need for a Savior. And there are those in this world that they're so blinded by their own pride, they don't recognize their need for God. They don't realize how sick they are and that they need this great physician named Jesus to give them life and that more abundant. But the Bible also says that there is the need for faith. The Bible says that we are saved by grace through faith. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. In order to enter into this kingdom of God, you have to come with childlike faith, believing God's word, agreeing with what he has said. The message of the gospel, the good news for salvation, is so powerful, friends, that it can reach the heart of an adult, or it can even reach the heart of a little child. It's a known fact that most decisions are made for Christ at an early age. It's estimated that 19 out of 20 people become Christians before the age of 25. And the statistics go down and the percentages go down from there. Have you come with childlike faith? Are you trusting in Christ for salvation? Have you bowed the knee and humbled your heart and received Christ? It was upon the heels of this explanation concerning this coming kingdom that Jesus was approached by this rich young ruler. And here in Mark chapter 10, verse 17, let me read it to you. It says, "Now as Jesus was going out on the road, one came running, and they knelt and asked him, 'Good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?' And Jesus said to him, 'Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, and that is God. You know the commandments. Don't commit adultery. Don't murder. Don't steal. Don't bear false witness. Don't defraud. Honor your father and mother.' And he answered Jesus and he said, 'Teacher, all these things I've kept from my youth.' And then Jesus looked at him and loved him and said, 'One thing you lack. Go. Go your way and sell whatever you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And then come, take up the cross and follow me.' But he was sad at this word, and he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions." As you read the Bible, in the gospel record, you get a clear picture and description of this man. He was a ruler, he was young, he was wealthy. And yet at the same time, he realized that something was missing from his life. He was conscious of the infinite, but he couldn't grasp it through finite means. He knew that there was this void. He knew that although he was morally upright, and though he had some of his life together, that there was just something that was missing. Do you feel that today? Do you sense that today? Has God made you aware of the void in your life? Are you conscious of the fact that you need a Savior this morning? This man, that's right where he was. And it's interesting because he was very sincere. He came and it says that he ran after Jesus. Now, for a man of this stature, somebody who had this kind of place of leadership and prominence, they would never run anywhere. That was uncharacteristic in that culture. You had other people run for you. But this man ran after Jesus. He pursued him. You may be a very sincere person. You've come here this morning sincerely seeking a relationship with God. You got up out of bed, and here you are. This man was also humble, at least outwardly. It says that he bowed before Jesus. He was prostrate before him. Humble. Didn't matter what anybody else thought. He just bowed right before Jesus. Didn't matter that he was powerful. Didn't matter that he had money. It didn't matter that he had his youth. He bowed before Jesus in humility, seeking an answer for life's deepest question. He was also very respectful. He called Jesus a good teacher. It wasn't proper for an individual to call a rabbi good because it was believed that goodness alone belonged to God. And so Jesus responds to this language of the man when he calls him good. And he wasn't denying his deity. He's just saying to the man, do you realize who you're talking to when you call me good? Are you coming here because you realize that Jesus is God? He's saying to this man, do you recognize who I am? Is that why you're calling me good? Because there's only one that's good, and that's God. Is that what you're saying? Do you recognize this? And Jesus was discerning this man's motives. There are many misconceptions today concerning Jesus. There are those that say he was a good man. He was a good teacher, a great moral leader, a spiritual leader in his time. But Jesus would not have been classified as a good man or a good teacher if his claims were not true. And the claims of Jesus Christ, folks, are radical claims. Jesus claimed to be the only way to heaven, exclusively. Jesus claimed to be truth. He claimed to be the source and the giver of life. Not only physical life, but eternal life. And if those claims weren't true, then Jesus was either a liar, he was either a lunatic, or he was Lord. The ruler asked the question, what shall I do that I might inherit eternal life? In one sense, he was saying, what good work can I do? What can I perform that I might somehow be worthy of this salvation, this kingdom, that I might enter into it? You can picture him kneeling before Jesus, almost anticipating that Jesus was going to give him something that he could do. Do you want me to go climb that mountain over there and say some prayers? No. Jesus, do you want me to write you a check? Because I could do it. Seems like you guys are struggling with a place to stay. You guys don't always have food. Let me write you a check. What is it, Jesus Incorporated Ministries? No, it wasn't anything like that. It wasn't money that was going to save this man. It wasn't religious practice that was going to save this man. He's waiting, wondering if maybe some charitable deed could be done that might save his soul. I want you to understand something today, folks. There is no work that you could ever do to earn salvation. There's nothing that you could do to make yourself worthy of salvation. You can't do it. You can't earn it. Salvation comes by grace. It is undeserved. It is unmerited. You can't earn it, but listen, you can receive it. And so as this man waited, Jesus said to him, why don't you keep the commandments? And he asked the Lord, well, which commandments am I supposed to keep? And Jesus labeled the second tablet of the commandments. There were 10 commandments, and he dealt with all the commandments that had to do with man's relationship to his fellow man. And as Jesus listed these commandments, this young ruler responds to the Lord, and he says very honestly, Lord, I've done all these things. And when he says, I've observed these things and I've done them, the word actually means that he had watched like a soldier. It's a military term. He was attentive to what he was required to do. And he said, Lord, I've kept those things. And I believe that he actually did, because if he didn't keep them, Jesus would have called him out on it. One thing that Jesus didn't tolerate, and he spoke against quite often, was hypocrisy. This man kept the commandments on the outward. He didn't know the true meaning of the law, but at least externally, he'd been good to other people. He didn't lie, he didn't steal, he didn't kill, he didn't commit adultery, he didn't go out and do these things. He honored his parents. And I love the next phrase, because as Jesus hears this man respond, saying that he had kept the commandments, one of the gospel writers said that he then said to Jesus, "What am I still lacking? What am I still missing? Because I've done these things, but I know there's something still missing. I'm doing all that. Once in a while I go to church. Once in a while I pick up the Bible. Once in a while I, you know, maybe talk about God, but I don't really walk with God. What's missing in my life?" And I love it, because in the next phrase it says that Jesus, listen to this, says he looked at this man and he loved him. He loved him. Did you know today, friend, that God loves you? God loves you. He loves you right where you're at. He knows all about your situation. He knows what you're involved with. He knows what you've been carrying on in. And you got to know this today. He still loves you. And if you were the only person that ever existed on this planet and you needed a Savior, he loved you enough. He would have come and died for you personally. And he did die for you personally. Yes, Jesus died for the sins of the whole world. But I want you to understand something this morning. He died for your sins personally. He died for my sins personally. That's how much you're loved by God. If you say, "Well, how much does God love me?" I'll tell you how much. Jesus stretched out his arms and was nailed to a cross and said, "I love you this much." His love is endless. It's unconditional. But he loves you enough not to leave you the way that you are. He wants to save you. He wants to take you to heaven. Jesus looked at this man and he loved him in all of his moral uprightness. Self-righteous, Jesus loved him, and he loves you, friend. God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. God loves you, and he wants you to respond to that love today. And it's up to you. He not only said that he loved you, he demonstrated it. And so as Jesus looks at this man, hears of his morality, Jesus said, "There's one thing you lack. One thing." I imagine that the rich young ruler was relieved. "Whoa, just one? That's it? Wow, I thought it was going to be like 10 or 20 things that I lacked. I didn't realize that I was that close. Okay, what's the one thing? One thing you lack, just one thing." And then Jesus put his finger on this man's problem and what was keeping him from the kingdom. You know what it was? It was his possessions. Jesus said to him, "Why don't you go and sell all that you have and come follow me? Take up the cross and you'll have treasure in heaven." There's nothing wrong with having possessions. The problem was the possessions had him. They were his God. Listen, everybody has some God that they serve, whether it's the one true God or a God of your own liking. You may be your own God. You serve yourself. But anything that takes the first priority in your life, that passion, that pursuit, that which you worship, we were created to worship. Everybody worships something. Everybody has a belief system. Even if you say, "I don't believe in God," guess what? That's your belief system. That's what you believe. Nothing. But you believe it. His possessions were his God. And so when he heard Jesus say, this is what you need, this thing's got a grip on you, you're in bondage to it, but you need to let it go. It says that he was sorrowful. Suddenly this countenance began to fall because he realized what a hold these things had on him. It prevented him from coming to Christ. There was idolatry in his life. It was keeping him from Jesus. Let me ask you something this morning. What is keeping you from following after Christ? Is there anything right now in your life that you say, "This thing right here, this is holding me back from following Jesus. This is holding me back from a full commitment." It may be some addiction you have. It may be some relationship you're in. It may be your possessions. Whatever it is it, let me ask you this question, is it worth going to hell for? And you would answer that question if you were understanding what the Bible has to say, and you'd say, no, there's nothing worth going to hell for. The Bible says, Jesus said, what will a man give in exchange for his soul? There's nothing more valuable, friends, than your soul. There's nothing worth holding on to that would keep you from following Christ. But there may be some here in this park today that that's exactly your story. You're being held back. You're not following the Lord. You're in bondage to sin. And the only way that you're going to break free from that is if you make a decision today, a commitment to Christ, to say, that's it. I'm deciding to follow Jesus and no turning back. This man came with the most important question, and yet he went away and decided not to follow Jesus. This man would forever be haunted by the what could have been. And there are people like that today. The rich young ruler, he came to the right person. He came to Jesus. He asked the right question. What do I need to do to be saved? He was given the right answer. But he made the mistake that he didn't recognize Jesus as Lord. He overlooked his own sin and in the bondage that he was in. He misunderstood God's grace and he went away unchanged. Unfortunately, this is a story that is often repeated even today. Those who are searching, they finally come to Christ and they're confronted with following after Jesus and leaving the world behind. And they say, I just can't do that. I can't do that. I'll follow God when I come to my deathbed. I want you to know something. You may not have that opportunity. Life is a vapor. It's here for a moment and then it's gone. Today, this moment right now, you will never have this moment ever again in your life. It's right now. Right in this moment. And you have an opportunity today to respond to the gospel, to respond to the love of God. Jesus died, he was buried, he rose again, he offers you salvation. This is the opportunity that you have, and you will never be able to stand before God and say, I didn't know. Nobody told me, I just told you. Now you're accountable. God loves you. He wants to save you. He has a plan and a purpose for your life. What is standing between you and a relationship with God? Have you accepted Jesus? Every single person believes in something. But the question is, what you believe, does it prepare you for eternity? Are you prepared? Do you know beyond the shadow of a doubt where you go when you die? How do you know that? What is the basis of your belief? Well, Pastor John, you know what? When I was a baby, I was baptized. Big deal. You know, Pastor John, when I was younger, I took communion. So what? You know what, Pastor John? I became a member of a big deal. It doesn't matter. You know, Pastor John, my father, he served in a church. God doesn't have any grandchildren, folks. He has children. How do you know that you're going to heaven? You know that you can know? And the only way is by accepting Jesus Christ. You can have the absolute, total assurance that you're going to heaven. If today were your last day, if you took your last breath here, you take your first breath in heaven if you receive Christ. But it's up to you. No one can make the decision for you. You have to make the decision. The Bible teaches that there is a real place called hell that was prepared for the devil and his angels, where there's no light, there's no joy, just eternal darkness, weeping, gnashing of teeth, eternal separation from God. But Jesus died so you would never have to go there. Amen? God wants you in heaven. And there's a real place called heaven. No more sorrow, no more tears, no more pain, no more sin. The former things have passed away. All things have become new in the presence of God for all eternity. And that's where Jesus died so that you could, Jesus died so that you could go there. He wants you in heaven, friend. He loves you. It's not enough today for you to just say, I believe in a historical person named Jesus. That won't save you. It's not enough to attend a church service, to have an enormous Bible. Doesn't matter. The Bible says we need to repent. You say, well, how can I be saved? How can I have this assurance that you speak of? First of all, you have to realize that you're a sinner. All of us are. The Bible says that there is none righteous, not one. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We all need salvation. That's why Jesus came and died. If you could get to heaven by being a good person, then Jesus died in vain. You can't make it apart from Christ. You'll never make it apart from Christ, but you will make it through Christ. Not only do you recognize that you're a sinner, but then listen, you repent of sin. To repent, listen to what repent means. Folks, listen, it means to have a change of mind. A change of mind which results in a change of action. A change of mind as it relates to how I see sin. I see it the way God sees it. He reveals in his word, this is sin. My mind recognizes what it says, and I now agree with it, and I'm going to repent from sin. I'm turning. It's taking a U-turn in life. It's turning away from sin, and now it's pursuing after God. It's repenting. And if you repent of your sin today, I want you to understand something. I don't want you coming up here under false pretenses and think that if I go forward, all of my problems are going to be solved. You know what? You might have more problems. Because now, you're no longer going to be a captive of the devil, but you're going to be in the kingdom of God, and God's going to use your life, and now you're going to be opposed because of the fact that you want to live for Christ. So just understand that. But you'll have joy. You'll have peace that surpasses understanding. You'll be forgiven. You'll have the assurance of the hope of heaven. And nothing in all of the world can compare to salvation. You could have everything this world affords, but if you die without salvation, you have nothing. But you could have nothing that this world affords. And if you have salvation, listen, you got everything. What do you think? What are you going to do? Do you hear the voice of the Spirit of God calling you today? Maybe you're sitting here and thinking, man, I can't wait till this is over. Or maybe you're sitting here thinking, you're speaking to me. Maybe you knew the Lord at one time, like this religious ruler. Man, you did some good things. You're pretty moral, but you're not saved. You're a good person. You don't hate people. But you know that something's still missing. Maybe you're a backslidden person here this morning. You used to walk with the Lord at one time. But now you've gone back to the old way of doing things, and it's like no one would recognize that you're a Christian by the way that you live. You need to come forward and get right with God today. You need to do business with God. He loves you. He wants to restore you. And in a moment, I'm going to give you that opportunity to get up out of your seat, to respond like many have done this summer, to receive the message of the gospel. The Bible says if you can hear the voice of the Spirit of God, don't harden your heart, but receive him today. And I tell you this, if there is just one person here in this place, just even one, who stands here and says, I want Christ. I want salvation. Everything that went on today will be well worth it. Amen? The disciples, when they watched this man walk away, this rich young ruler, Peter said, Lord, who can be saved? I mean, if this guy's not getting in and he's morally upright and who's getting in? Jesus said, with man it's impossible, but not with God. You're not too sinful to be saved. You're not too morally upright to receive salvation. If you recognize your need today, I'm going to give you a chance to respond. It's up to you. As we were worshiping this morning, I was lifting up my voice, just praising God like many of you. And the Lord ministered to my heart and he said, John, I love San Juan Capistrano. And I love these people that are here. And if you can hear his voice today, respond. Don't wait. Don't put it off. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, as we end our time in the summer together, Lord, here in the park. Lord, as this breeze just blows through this area, I pray that the Spirit of God would blow through this park right now, convicting hearts, drawing people to Jesus Christ. Lord, that those that have been on the fence, those that have been backslidden, those that have been far from you, would turn to Christ for salvation. Lord, that they would come with a childlike faith and humility and receive Jesus. And they'd never be the same. Please, God. Lord, we plead with you. Save souls today.